together. I know he looks much younger, but we were in college together, and that's been quite a few years ago. And back in the 1970s, he has been so faithful in serving there. By the way, there with Baptist Missions, and I want to share that with you. And they've been faithfully serving the Lord now, working with the Japanese people in the Japanese language for all these years, decades, really. And what a wonderful work they've done. It's just wonderful to have them with us. It's been some years since they've been able to be here. Just wonderful to have them with us. So this morning and this evening, Brother Nabamasa Jiji was bringing our message. Brother, come at this time and share with us what you have from the Lord.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Feel like you know, if I don't speak in Japanese, and I don't feel like I'm out of the church. Usually on Sundays, and I preach in Japanese, of course, in Japan. So I got used to it, and I didn't do that for a few weeks. And the church and I were working in the Koryama Baptist Church in the northern part of Japan, and that was that particular prefecture or that region was hit by a tsunami 6 years ago. Probably you heard about the news. And also, that unfortunately, our prefecture, that there was a nuclear plant on the ocean side. And that the tsunami hit that nuclear plant as well and exploded that particular day, which we didn't know. And we found out about a few days later, the government announced it. But the people who are living in that coastal area knew that as soon as they heard. And the next morning, early in about 5 o'clock, maybe about 6 o'clock, and some government official workers, like a police force and self-defense, firefighters, and those who went to various houses, all houses, and told them to get away from the house without taking anything, just move out. They didn't know what happened. And we found out later. And explosion of the nuclear plant. That's where we are. And now, still, the coastal area folks, some of the cities or some towns are suffering because of the explosion and radiation leaks. And some of the towns have no damage by tsunami, but because of the explosion, they cannot go back to the houses. Now we've seen, that's only we saw on the TV. We cannot get into that area yet, but we saw on the TV that wild boars, monkeys, other kind of animals all over. They're in and out from those houses, and they're eating whatever they want to eat. And some policemen or some other force, public workers went in that area with a special mask on, and then they took some pictures. And then those wild boars moving around, they're not afraid of people. Now that is the present situation in the coastal area of Fukushima Prefecture. Before forgetting anything, and I got to be so thankful, your pastor mentioned so highly, what do you call it? he put me too high. I'm not that faithful, and I'm not that good one, but he just put me too high, and I feel like I got high myself. That's what I felt. And I'm so glad that you got a faithful pastor too. Because you know that as a missionary, we didn't go to the churches every 4 years, we call a furlough to visit churches and supporting us. And last almost, I say 16 years, we couldn't do that simply because we don't have any people to fill in the pulpits. And what are they doing now in the Koryama Baptist Church? Well, we have been working, and they are listening to the CDs for 6 weeks almost. I feel guilty for that. I really do. And I'm so glad that they, they said, please come back quickly. So I have to go back in 6 weeks. That's maximum we can take. Some other missionaries can find, fill in or while they are taking further. And it's getting worse and worse in our country. Probably the same thing will be happening in other countries as well, simply because we have less fatherless missionaries. If they are English-speaking countries, as such like Puerto Rico, or the Philippines, maybe they understand English too. In some places in Korea, they may speak some English too, but not like in Japan. If they can speak and understand English, maybe your pastor can fill in while I'm here. But it doesn't work. We need an interpreter. So I appreciate your prayers and your understanding is so great. And I appreciate so much, so much. We didn't come here for last 20 some years. But you didn't forget me. And you keep supporting us in prayers as well as in a financial way. And so I'm so thankful for your prayers and your support. And Pastor mentioned that and I got a heart attack. I was supposed to be here last year, but I had a heart attack on August 7th. I was teaching in Sunday school that Sunday morning. It was Sunday morning. I started to teach in Sunday school. I felt very sick. I began to sweat. I never had experience like that in my life. And I don't know why I was sweating because I didn't feel even hot. And just sweating and sweating, and I wipe up my sweat with my handkerchief, and it didn't go away. And my handkerchief became like very damp. I thought, because one lady recognized my face was pale. Of course, I couldn't see my face. So I didn't know how do I look like. And I excused myself for that Sunday morning service. And I felt no energy left. And I didn't know what happened. Maybe I had a heat stroke or something. But I just lay down on the bed. And I still felt sick. And I called my son, who is a doctor, and I'm glad that God gave us a doctor son, you know. So I called him and emailed him. I feel this way and that way, and I felt what I felt about symptoms. He answered quickly, said, "Dad, you got a stroke. I mean, I had a heart attack. Go to the doctor right away." That was his answer. And still, I didn't take it too serious because I felt I can breathe and I don't have much pain. I just feel the pressure on the heart. I never had the pressure and I didn't know what it was. So I told myself, I can wait until my wife was a pianist at the church. So when we finish the morning service, then I thought I can go. So I waited. And after the service ended, which is about, let me see, we started at Sunday school 9, so about 3 hours late. So my wife took me to the hospital and waited in the emergency room, and my son called. How was it? I don't know the result yet, because I didn't see the doctor yet. So I said, no, we don't know. I'm waiting. My son got a little bit upset, said, you're crazy. You got a heart attack, I told you, you better go to directly to the doctor and do something. You may die. Well, I think my wife took it serious, so she talked with the nurse, and the nurse explained to the doctor. I didn't see the doctor until then. And they took me to some other funny room and ready to some kind of special treatment. Not operation, but they put that catheter and put the stent right away. And I could hear that he's talking, a couple of doctors doing a treatment on me, and I could hear because that's partial anesthesia, and I could hear they're talking. he said, what is the stopped place? And then the one doctor said, I found it, you know, I found the words to stop. I could hear the talk. And he said, oh, okay, now I went through. And put the stent in it. So now, oh, okay, and I can see that now the blood is now running. I could hear the discussion and talking. So I praise the Lord for it. And then the doctor, finally I met the doctor. Who is my doctor? Here he is. He said that you got 100% blockage of the one part. Actually, four blockages. And one of them is 100%. That's what you had as a symptom of sweating. And he said, when did you feel that way? I thought it was 8 o'clock. And he wondered in his face, and he said, 8 o'clock? I didn't know what he means. You know? Then my wife said, no, it was 9 o'clock. And he made a face. Ah, I see the point. He goes, even at 8 o'clock, you have only, I didn't know that, the doctor told me, after you have a heart attack, 100% blockage. 4 hours is the maximum. After 4 hours, your heart starts dying. I didn't know that. I learned the lesson. So, if it's 8 o'clock, my heart has halfway dead. And if it's 9 o'clock, I have 30 more minutes. That's what the doctor means. And I thank the Lord. You know, some folks told me Wednesday, and they've been praying for, and the preacher, of course, told me, how was your heart? And I'm so thankful. Somebody's praying for me. And one church we went already. And the first thing that one of the members asked me, how is your heart? That was surprising. Somebody's praying. You know, the prayer is not in vain. And the prayer works. Preacher preached on a Wednesday night, and I heard that he's teaching. Prayer works. It does the job. And I learned that by my own experience. And how it works in between the USA and Japan. My watch says 1:30. Not a time change, you know. It's nothing to do with the time change. You don't change that much. Yours is probably 11:30, right? Right. In Japan, it's 1:30 in the morning, Monday morning. It doesn't mean much, you know. But it does work. Your Sunday school starts our Sunday evening. But how about our Saturday? I mean, your Sunday school or Saturday night by 10, 11 o'clock, that's on Sunday in Japan. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can, your prayer on Sunday morning is working on our Sunday morning service, your Saturday night prayer. Then our Sunday night prayer will work for your Sunday school and the Sunday morning service. God made the globe round. And difference of about 13 hours, 14 hours. It doesn't mean much to you maybe, but you know, we heard while we were in Japan, we received the letter, or we received the mails from our dear loved ones, not the loved ones, but dear friends and people who are praying for, and they sometimes wrote a letter to us. And those are, all of them are from Florida. I'm not criticizing other states, but those who are in Florida wrote to us. And something happened to your family, doesn't it? Because God spoke to me, and I need to write to you. And I felt that I need a prayer for our family. You know, that it happened, not coincidence. Not an accident. I believe that God's, the Holy Spirit, speak to somebody's heart. I learned that from the brother, dear brother, John Arahimus. If you know, sometimes you think about somebody, some things, so suddenly without thinking. Have you ever experienced like that? You think about somebody so suddenly, you don't know why. John Hines, one of their brothers in the Lord, he shared with me so many times a long time ago. And he began to think about somebody suddenly, he stopped the car, if he can, then he writes the date and time and what he's about and who's about. And later he found out, more than half, something happened to that person. Whose work is that? Without a shadow of a doubt, that's the Lord's work. To remind him to pray for somebody. So those ladies wrote to me later from Florida, and when they prayed, but checked about the time, our son, our oldest son, Adam, who was hit by car several times when he was in high school. Time is almost the same. Is that a coincidence? Accident? No, it's not. The Lord knows. So your prayer is not in vain. And our prayer is not in vain. So how the prayer works between even in Japan and America. And I'm so thankful for this church too. And your pastor's faithfulness and ministry and visiting us. And when I came to Japan, I mean to the States in 1974, that first the year that I attended school in Chattanooga. And I don't know how many of you know met the Japanese people before. Not many people, right? Okay. I don't know your impression. Japanese are serious people. They don't joke much. When I came to the States, I went to the not a dormitory on set and a big room, big buildings, but I was in a house dorm. And my room, dorm mates, Bible school students, college students, and my dorm mate, roommate was a very serious guy from Pennsylvania. But other guys are consistently joking. I didn't understand that they're jokes for a while. And I said something funny, I guess. And one guy told me, "Ah, you turkey." I thought, turkey? I am from Japan. I'm not from Turkey. Or another bird. I'm a human. I'm not a turkey. What other word? I didn't know that word saying. And I thought, what do you mean by that? I'm not a bird. I'm not from Turkey, the country. What do you mean by that? All they began to laugh because I didn't know what they meant. They began to talk about me. Whole week, that little Japanese guy said, yeah, I'm a turkey at all, and he said, I'm not a bird. That's the beginning of, you know, the jokes after jokes when I was in school on campus. And I thought, my goodness, you know, when they become serious, except my roommate. Lee Woods from Pennsylvania, but others are joking all the time. One day they use the other word, not turkey, but the other word too. And oh boy, I tell you, I cannot tell a whole things, but what I learned. And I learned how to joke a little bit. I think the Christians not be always too serious. I like that in American Christians, they got a sense of humor. I think we need that. Preachers cannot be always square, you know, man. And I think we need to learn about to be a little bit lenient and a little bit, what do you call, humorous. Not the bad jokes and dirty jokes as such, but humorous is important. So I learned the humorous one after another. And one day I learned from a missionary from Japan, or to Japan, and Dr. Don Sisk. he was head of the BIMI, and he shared with me one joke. And but if he says okay, and if I say, I got to be careful. I got to overemphasize, make sure it is a joke. If I don't, he may be mad at me. So I got to tell you, this is a joke. I learned from Dr. Dan Sis. Okay? I'm carrying two Bibles. Not because I'm spiritual. One is Japanese, one is an English Bible. And I told you this is a joke. Okay? Don't take it serious. And I become your enemy if I don't. This is not a joke. How do you read your Bible in English Bible? Yeah, left to right. And your Genesis to the left, right? And the back cover is Revelation, right? And you read left to right, right? Okay, here's the Japanese Bible. My right side is Genesis. That's backwards already. Very end is Revelation. How to read our Bible? We read up and down, up and down. I told you this is a joke, right? Mr. Dancist's joke. He said the Japanese Christians are very honest and obeying the Lord when they read the Bible. When they read the Bible, they're reading this. Yes, Lord. When you read English Bible, I wonder, something wrong. No. I learned that from Dr. Dan Sis. And that's about the joke I learned. Of course, my wife is born in Georgia and raised in Alabama. And her language is not Japanese. I didn't have any problems of speaking the Japanese language. It's an easy language. Since I was a little boy, I could speak because I was born and raised in that country. But I guess my wife suffered a lot of the learning language, but she has no problem of learning and speaking, even though she can joke, which is difficult. And this morning, I want to share with you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. I believe that one day that my homiletics teacher, Dr. Steve Euler, told us in a class, in the beginning, first class or second class, I don't remember which class was, but he mentioned this way. When you speak and preach on the Sunday morning and in the church, or in the church you minister to, don't leave them an empty heart. You give them something from the Word of God. You come to this service of the Lord, worship, and what's your job as a preacher? Giving the Word to take them home. In a famous A.P. Gibbs mention about the worship, he wrote in the book, Worship, he said, what is the most important for Christians to do? Many Baptists, I'm a Baptist by conviction, many Baptists say our main job on this earth is evangelism, which I agree. But is that most important for a Christian to do? No, it's not so. A.P. Gibbs wrote, most important for a Christian to do is worship the Lord. You worship the Lord from the depths of your heart. If you worship the Lord from the depths of your heart, joyfully, willingly, praising the Lord, automatically you will evangelize, tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he mentioned, overemphasized, that we need to give something from the Word of God. Now, I praise the Lord for Wednesday night and Sunday morning, your pastor is giving the Word. And I appreciate it so much. We missionaries go into the field and keep preaching and teaching and we burned out. So-called burnout syndrome, spiritually speaking. So when we come to the States for furlough, we need to get something from other preachers. And I deeply appreciate your pastor's teaching. If you're missing, I encourage you to come on Sunday morning and Wednesday night in the Bible study, which is very rich. I learned a lot. And even the last Sunday, and I didn't have to preach because I got a cancellation of the meeting. So I went to attend the Sunday school, and the Sunday morning, and the associate pastor preached about from the Word of God. I appreciate it so much. It was rich. Now, this morning is my job to share with you from the Word of God, and I don't want you to go home with an empty heart. Get something from the Word of God, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. And talking about the importance or necessity of testing. Necessity of testing or trials, so to speak. Actually, the Jesus is talking about to become fishers of men, which is talking about evangelism. But here the Jesus talking about Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 22. Verses 17 through 22. I read my Bible, so read your own. I don't know how many of you heard about the speaking in tongues. Well, actually, I am speaking in tongues now. English is not my language. So if you, so to speak, I am speaking in tongues according to the Bible. Greek word, glosso, which is the language. So if I speak in English, I am speaking in tongues. But I think it's still biblical because you don't understand English. I know even with a funny southern Japanese accented English, but I hope you understand. I try to do my best and to communicate with you in your language. I hope you do. If you don't, I need an interpreter. Pastor McClure is coming to interpret for me. I preach in my own language and it's much, much easier. But I know he rejected on Wednesday night. I don't interpret for you. So I got to do my best. And I hope you understand my southern Japanese accent in English. Matthew chapter 4, and verses 17 through 22. Probably you heard many times. So would you pay attention to your Bible, Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 22. It says, この時からイエスは宣教を開始して言われた。悔い改めなさい。天の御国が近づいた。イエスがガリラヤのほとりを歩いておられた時、二人の兄弟、ペテロと呼ばれるシモンと、その兄弟、アンデレをご覧になった。彼らは湖で網を打っていた漁師だったからだ。イエスは彼らに言われた。私についてください。あなた方を人間を取る漁師にしてあげよう。彼らはすぐに網を捨てて従った。そこからなお行かれると、イエスは別の二人の兄弟、ゼベダイの子ヤコブとその兄弟ヨハネが父ゼベダイと一緒に船の中で網を繕っているのをご覧になり、二人をお呼びになった。彼らはすぐに船も父も残してイエスに従った。As you read, I read too. And I hope you understand, this is a simple teaching from the Word of God, Jesus' teaching. Very interestingly, in verse 17, Jesus said, after he started the ministry and he began to call 12 disciples. In the very beginning of the verse 17, Jesus said, repent. That is the message of the beginning. That is the message we are given in this world while we are alive. We need to encourage people repent. Repent of what? Repent of sins. If they don't understand sin, you have to explain. But no matter how much you explain what sins are, I know that by experience, until the Holy Spirit convicts, they won't understand what sin is. If they don't understand what the sins are, they never understand the cross of Christ. Because Jesus died on the cross for ours and their sins. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit that I strongly believe. But at least we can give the Word of God and the Gospel out. And the Word of God will be given to them, as you know in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful to speak to their hearts, convict their hearts. I believe so. So we need to give out the Word of God according to this Timothy. And Paul wrote to Timothy, in season, out of season, we give the gospel up. Why? Because of the power of the word. I strongly believe that. Why? I have an experience. That's my testimony. And I hope that's a testimony to you too. So, but our job is giving the gospel out. Then the work of the Holy Spirit will be given. Then the Holy Spirit will convict people's heart and show them what sin is. And give them understanding what sin is. If they understand totally about the sin problem, they will start asking God to forgive their sins. That's exactly what I've done at the age of 19. And I'm going to share with you more about tonight how I came to know Christ as my Savior. I am an MP, not a military police. MP, missionary product. We use only, I think you never heard, right? Missionary product. A missionary came from the States. He was in Navy during the World War II in Pacific. After the war ended in 1950, a year before I was born, he came to Japan. And he came to the city I was born and raised. He shared the gospel. And I got saved. I met a couple from visiting this church now during the winter season from Michigan. That's a great state. I like Florida too, because this church is in Florida. But I like the state of Michigan. That's the first time that I heard them, and one of the 50 states is Michigan, because a missionary came from Michigan. And his wife is from Arizona. They met in Bob Jones University. So I knew those three words. Oh, Bob Jones University in the state of Arizona and in Michigan. And so Michigan is special to me. And he's the one shared the gospel and led me to Christ. So I'm called missionary product. And I'm happy about that. I'm proud of it. And I'm sharing with anybody who I met, who I meet. Now coming back to the portion, Jesus said, repent. That's the first message, beginning of the message. Then what he did, he began to call 12 disciples, and he began to do the world evangelism. And he told those disciples one by one, then he tried to train them to be fishers of men. Bible said, actually, that he's going to make professionals out of those disciples. They were fishers of men. I mean, they're fishers, fishermen. But they become now the fishers of men instead of fish. And they tried to, Jesus tried to train them become a professional of fishers of men. He is still doing the job for a full-time ministry. Still, he's calling. He's trying to train them. And here it is. Those professionals, or no, former professionals, and become a professionals of fishers of men, Jesus tried to train them. But before training them, he had some obligation they're asking for. he had only two things to asking them to do. Only two. I think that I believe strongly. Still, he's asking you to do the same if you are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only us as preachers or missionaries or pastors, evangelists, still God is asking, Jesus is asking you to do two things. One of them is abandon the things, or forget the things behind you, or forgetting things what you have. You get rid of a lot of things, what you have. No misunderstanding me. There's one cult in South Korea. When I went back to Japan in 1980, about a few years later, one Korean pastor, quote unquote, it's not a good pastor or what kind of Christian or Christianity, I don't know. But that one Korean pastor told the church folks, one day, you sell every property you have, houses or the land, sell them all, and then bring the money to the church. Why? You sang this morning, Jesus is coming back again. You don't need the money. You don't need a place to stay. Sell them all. Bring the money for the Lord's sake. That's what the Korean pastor said. You know what he did? He collected so much money. People obeyed their pastor. You know what they did? What he did? He put that money, enormous amount of money, put it into the Swiss bank. Bank in Switzerland. Time saving. Because I read in the newspaper. According to that time saving, mature time of that deposit was after Jesus Christ will return. Are you following? It's funny. Before it's funny too, but after Jesus returns, of course he was arrested. He was put in jail. Sometimes some churches, quote unquote, they tell the wrong things and use the word of God in a funny way to be used. Very dangerous. So Bible does not mean that you forget everything and give up everything. It does not mean by that. Definitely not. But as you know that Jesus is coming back again, and you got to obey the Lord and you got to do something. When I was in school, I was amazed when I came to Tennessee Temple Schools. Some of my classmates, these amazing guys, I didn't know until I came to school, my dedication is that not that big. Or I didn't burn the bridge behind, so to speak. I just finished a college in Japan, and I was going to work for the Toyota company as a working for somebody in the interpreter or something. But I didn't burn the bridge that much. I don't have any occupations, or I didn't have any qualifications, so I didn't burn much. So I came to school, and here in the States, I didn't burn that much. But when I was in the class, one of my classmates was a former Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher. I thought, I misheard him. What? He said, I was pitching for Pittsburgh Pirates. That's a major league. Is he lying or what? Then I asked somebody else, was he a pitcher for Pirates in Major League Baseball? Yeah. Wow. I said, wow. And I had another classmate, Ed Carter, his name. Probably Pastor McClure knows him. He was the Chicago Bears or Dallas Cowboys. He was playing for linebacker. I almost lost my words. I beg your pardon? You are a professional American football player. And yes, I was. I lost my words. And I have two other friends. One of them is a former Chicago Cubs second player baseball. Again, Chicago Cubs, that's a major league baseball. And you are here, what are you doing here? Another one is the Chicago White Sox. He was the same way, the second base player. And one after another, those guys in the classes, I went. And I thought of myself, what did I burn? I have nothing to burn. I didn't have much to burn. And here I am. My dedication is right. You know, I didn't burn much. I don't have much to burn. But you know, the Lord spoke to me, nothing to burn much. Still, if you surrender your life, give up your life for the Lord's sake. I didn't give up that much and I failed in a way. But when I think about after I got married, I think she gave up more than I did. She's still young. Don't misunderstand me, but when she lost her whole young time, period of the time she could enjoy in this country, she gave up on. And spending time in a foreign country, which she never understood in the beginning. She didn't know about the culture. Many things are different. Foods are different. You got to eat the raw fish, sometimes squid, octopus, eels, oh my goodness, and stinky, rotten beans called natto. Have you ever seen a natto? Maybe the Pastor McClure is going to visit us again. I'm going to feed him the rotten beans. In our area, many people, from young and old, they eat those rotten beans. Fermented beans sounds better, but not much difference. But this is good for health. But my wife, they gave up a lot. More than I did, because that's the country I was born and raised. Even though I was not born and raised in that northern, northeastern territory of Japan, I was born more far west, but still Japan. So I didn't burn too much behind the scene. Here's the word of God teaches that when Jesus asking, calling the disciples, those disciples gave up things. That's the first thing they did. What did they give up? First two, Bible says that two people came out first, and Simon Peter and Andrew. They gave up certain things. Some things that hold on you, that hold back from the Lord to serve Him. There are things you need to burn or give up. What they did, they gave up the net, right? That's the very important tools for a fisherman to use. If you don't have a net, you cannot get any fish. So when they give up, that means they give up everything. Talking about that's their occupation. The net is showing you that's their occupation. And also, I have a fisherman friend in the West. They work, not working hours as such. You work 8 hours a day or something. Fishermen, whenever necessary time, they're going out and fish, catch fish. Sometimes all night long, all day long. So there's no set time. That's what they're working for, 24 hours sometimes. You know what's so true that for reaching souls to Christ, you have 8 hours, time is over, time card out, And my job is done today. Do you do that for soul winning? There's no such a thing. There's no time card or time machine. Soul winning is all the time. I was told that when you become a preacher, you become 24 hours on duty. You are awake 24 hours? No, women, you may be dead. If you're 24 hours alert, we may be dead in within a week or so. But at least we have 24 hours on duty. If somebody calls us, we gotta be ready. I told the church folks the same way. If you need me, call me. You give me a few minutes to be awake. You know, I need to be awakened. Probably I'm sleeping or something. So I need to wake up. So give me a few minutes to do that. But I'm 24 hours available. I'm 24 hours alert on duty. Why? Because we are preachers, pastors, missionaries, 24 hours alert. That's our job. And also, giving up the nets. That's the, how do you say? If you don't have nets, you're giving up your life in a way. You cannot catch fish. If you cannot catch fish, you have no money. You're giving up your life in some sense. That's what they did. They gave up the nets. It means serious. And also that giving up the nets, you need a determination too. You got to determine and do it. If you have for half, you may not give up. We see so many Christians give up half. I give you this much, but not this one. You keep some, but I give you this much. That's what Jesus asked the disciples to do. Give up whole nets. Give up whole. And also they about those giving up, not only nets they gave up. The Bible says they gave up, verse 22, they gave up their father. It does not mean that we neglect parents. Bible strongly teaches in the Old Testament, you respect the parents. But what does it mean to giving up their father? Taking care of the father, sometimes we need to take care of the parents. Some missionaries are doing that. I respect that too. You know, in our case, my wife's parents passed away after we went there on the field in the following year, 1980-81. Both parents passed away at the age of 50 and 51 within a week. You know, it's tough. It's tough for me too. I love my parents-in-law. He didn't like me to marry his daughter. He surely hated it. He was a pastor of the church, Baptist church. One day I went to see him after proposing my wife, and she accepted. So I said, I need to ask the parents. He was a pastor in Opelika, Alabama. And he said that, no, what we talked about, various things and ministries, he was so gracious. He was so gracious. And he asked me, do you have this book? And do you have that book? He encouraged getting the books. He got a bunch of big library he got. He said, do you have this book? You've got to have it. I said, oh, okay, I will write that. No, you have this book. He gave me a pile of books. I thought, oh my, he's a gracious man. Maybe this is the time to ask him, would you give me your daughter? He was so gracious, sweet. So I said, maybe he said, okay. So would you give me your daughter? He was flat straight, no. Oh, and then changing the subject, changing about the ministry. Now he's so gracious. He gave me more books. maybe he may change his mind soon, you know, after a while. So I asked him again, can I marry your daughter? Flat, straight, no. Oh my goodness. He kept saying no. He said that even I say no later, he said even I kept saying no, you will marry. And if you marry, my daughter and grandchildren are welcomed to our home, but not you. I deeply appreciate that. And if you come, I will shoot you. Of course, he was not, I don't think he means business, you know, but that discouraged me. But you know, my wife and I, we decided, we were dating, but we decided until the parents say yes, we don't marry. I strongly believe that. There's some reason they say no. He said no. He has some reasons why he said no. So we prayed and prayed 4 years until we graduated. But one day I talked with Dr. Cravens, a dean of a seminary, and he said he's going to conduct the ceremony, officiate our wedding. He's willing to do it. He's happy to do it. He said, that's an honor to me. But I said that her father is against it. So we wait until he says, okay. I believe that's right. Some young people, they're married, no matter what parents are against it or not. And I don't teach that way. Something wrong if the parents are against it. So they pray and keep working at it. So we pray. And one day, our dean of seminary said, I'm going to meet her dad. So, oh, that's great, you know. The dean of seminary is going to meet her dad. So we pray that the Lord is going to open his heart and say yes. So he visited her parents' house. And after the meeting done, he went home. And next day or two, I met the Dr. Cravens. And how was he? He said, what do you mean by that? Did he say okay for our wedding? I said, no, we didn't talk anything about it. Well, that's an encouragement. My wife talked with her father. Did you talk with her about a marriage? No, we didn't talk anything about it. Well, what did you talk about? We talked about the books and authors. Nothing about marriage. Oh, we got discouraged by hearing that. But you know, her father said after that, did he say he's going to officiate your marriage? He's a great man. He's a great man of God. He's a man of wisdom. He didn't touch even the issue about your marriage. He is a wise man. And if he said okay for your wedding, I got to think about it. Later he said, okay. So after we graduated, we got married at his church. And I praise the Lord for it. You know, this is a good lesson that for young people to wait upon the Lord and to get the understanding of their parents if you marry. And that's nothing to do with it. But here, I was talking about leaving the father, giving up the father. Does not mean that you neglect the parents. But only sometimes when you obey the Lord, no matter if you're living close to it, you may not see his father or mother at the deathbed. No matter how close you are living, we could see her parents in deathbed. They passed away within a week. I couldn't see my father as a deathbed. I was in the state of trouble. My mother, she was in Japan. We were in Japan, but I couldn't see her. no matter how close we are, how far you are. But you know, the Lord takes care of them. And we should not bother your ministry or stop your ministry. You know, her father saying all the time, when we left to Japan in 1980, please do not come back no matter what happens to me. Actually, a year later, he had a liver cancer. And her, one of the deacons called us, you better come back, because her dad had a cancer. And he has a sentence about maybe within a year. You better come back and see. We prayed about it. Then we remember her father said, don't come back to bother your ministry. That's his stand. And I respected that. But we went back. We came back because God gave us peace about it. He was so happy to see us. And within a year, he passed away. 5 days later, mother passed away. Now, we don't have any parents who are alive on this earth. So we don't have to worry about anyone who can concentrate on the ministry. I believe that the Lord has done it. I still wish that her father lives a little bit longer than visiting us in Japan. And he has a lot to teach me as a pastor of the church. But you know that when you serve the Lord and become the professional fishers of man, you got to give up your parents as well, or loved ones. But more than anything else, you got to give up yourself. Actually, the Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, I'm going to read again in Japanese, so maybe I'm going to read in English. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. My eyes getting bad these days, so if you allow me to take my glasses off, and then I can read clearly. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Make it simple. What do you need to give up? Yourself. Probably that is the most important thing to do, more than anything else. If you want to be a professional fisher of man, you give up yourself, which is harder than any other two. You can give up the job, you give up the other, you give up your parents, family, but give up yourself is the hardest of all. What do you mean by the give up yourself? Your pride? Yes. Yourself? Yes. And you're always in your life, you're always your self-centered. Change it to Christ-centered life, which is not easy to do. You know, the opposite one of the Christ-centered life is the centered life of the flesh. Flesh-centered is the opposite one of the Christ-centered life. Give up yourself is very difficult in a sense. And also you give up yourself is teaching us to give up your own thoughts. Not always studying, but also your own thoughts. Many times we preachers do the same thing, especially the Japanese man. So proud people, you know. I don't know, American people much, but we are so proud and we think we know everything. My life is perfect. I know everybody. I know everything. So my children come and say, Daddy is the dad of everything. I know everything. You listen and obey me. I know it's wrong. My own experience. That's why my children didn't grow right. Because I was forced many times when they were a little kid. Because when I told them that I'm right, I should have thought Jesus is right, not me. Now the They learn more, not from me, but from the Word of God, the family devotion. And I praise the Lord. You know. But coming to the point that if you give up yourself, not only yourself, but also your self-centered life, your thoughts, pride, and even things in the past you succeeded. We always brag about what we succeeded in the past, didn't we? I did too. Brother John Hines came, always he, when he was in Japan, and he spoke in our church, and he spoke at the camp, and then he used a demonstration of karate, and always he picked on me. He said, "Brother Nabi, come to the front." Always he picked on me, and he did all me in karate, or he did some judo a little bit. Since I took the 6 years in judo, but I have only 1 week of karate. 1 week. It doesn't mean anything. It did hurt my finger and knuckle so much in bleeding, and I quit that. And it's tough martial arts. Judo is much easier and easier to do. But anyway, the John Hines always picked on me. When he came to our church, I started speaking at our camp. And talking about that, your own strengths and energy and experience, we always brag about it. Believe it or not, other than no ability or no gifts as such, I'm not a singer like Brother Chris. I cannot play the piano, he can play. And believe it or not, I try to study, play the piano. And if you're a piano player, you know, you use how to use the fingers first. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Right? If you're a piano player. I thought the first time when I saw the piano, do, re, mi, fa, sol, where to go? So you can play only do to sol. No, that was not sol. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Is that right? How about on the left hand? Unfortunately, I said, it didn't start with the thumb, but on the left hand, it's different. The move of the fingers is different from left and right hand. I could do that for a while on the right hand. And I started learning on the left hand how to play the piano. Then you put together, good grief. You can have the same move. And I said, I blame God a little bit. Why God didn't make my hands same as right hand and left hand? Thumb is this, the little finger is this. Same as my right hand, and I have the same move. That's easier, isn't it? No, God didn't make that way. So I cannot play the piano. I studied and tried for 1 month. And I found out, playing the piano is not my gift. I can run, but not as fast as a certain person do all the time like this from Jamaica. You know the guy? Yeah, he always has like it. He quit this year, but he was a fast runner. I cannot run that fast. How about the muscles? Probably your pastor has more muscles than tough. I don't have. How about brain? Hey, I can be proud a little bit because everybody when I was in the grade school and junior high and senior high, they thought I'm smart. My grandma said, "You're smart." Everybody said, "Oh, you're smart." But when I was in the senior high, I flunked a test on the English. First year in the senior high. I thought, "Oh, maybe I'm not that smart." But when I studied a little bit, I got a good grade again. Hey, I must be smart. And I began being proud of my older, I'm the youngest of four. And my dad was a surgeon, medical doctor. And I don't want to be a medical doctor too. But when I finished high school and we have to take the entrance examination to colleges. And I tried medical schools. My teacher, class teacher said, you can make it. And I tried quite a few. You know now, I failed every one of them. Every one of them. And after the final exam of the last medical school I tried, and when I failed, my big brother said, I didn't know that you're so foolish. He was happily said to me, I didn't know you're so foolish. He told me later that he was so happy when I failed an entrance exam. If I passed it, I'll maybe compared with him, and he will be, he's the oldest boy, but he may be neglected. So when I failed an entrance exam, he was so happy. I waited for 1 year to try another entrance exam. I failed again. And I learned that I'm not that smart, after all. Well, God gave the gifts. What is my gift? Or what are my gifts? I don't know. But the Bible says that you give yourself. If you don't feel you have anything, but still you give your life. Time is a same gift to everybody. I'm glad God is fair enough. If you don't have any special talent or gifts, you got a time. You got a life that you can give. Another thing, the first thing is give up things to be official or man. But you got to do another thing. As another trial or testing. That is to obey or to follow. Many people say, I give up this, but they don't obey. They don't follow through. Through that obeying, and we are learning, or I've learned, is three things. One is to pray. Many of you pray, I think. But sometimes you don't have the experience what the prayer does. I think you need to experience what the prayer does. That's important. Not only pray on words, pray sincerely, and you may get the answer of your prayers. And you will have more encouragement. And you see the need of prayer if you know the answer. That's why when you pray, you don't pray vaguely, right? You pray specifically. One event, the famous speaker in England a long time ago. He prayed. He was having an orphanage. His prayer is very interesting. He prayed for the money. But his way of praying money, don't give me enough money. No. His prayer in his prayer book said, I need 75 pennies. I need 1 pound and 75 pence. That kind of prayer. Specific. And what his prayer is answered, and he is writing in his notebook. My prayer is answered in so and so date. He is enjoying his prayer life. I believe that I told you about John Hines. He does a similar way. He prayed for something specific. And his prayer is answered, he's writing the date. I don't know if he's still doing or not. I don't do it, but I think that his prayer life is so rich. If you pray that way, and you specifically pray for somebody, some things, and you answer to put the dates, how will they answer? and you pray the Lord for. When you become older and older, you don't pray that way. Look at our young children, in our church. Grade school kids. They have a school sports day, so to speak. They always do that on Saturday these days, long time ago on Sundays. So they're asking us to pray, Lord, help us to have a, not on Sunday, it may rain. If it rains, they postpone to the Monday. That's specific. And then the somebody said, no. Well, the forecast said, it's coming Sunday, it's fine. Some people, some adults say that. Yet the little kid said, please pray that this coming Sunday, it will rain. And I can come to church. A little boy's prayer. Then there's some older people said, oh, poor boy. Forecast said, it will be fine. I want to say in my heart, shut up. I will do. But you know what happened? So many times, it rained. And Monday, it postponed to Monday. You know that boy said, thank you for your prayer. My prayer is answered. Your prayers are answered. When they're younger and younger, their prayer is sincere and simple and clear. How about our prayer? When you obey and follow the Lord as a fishers of, to be a fisher's man, prayer is one of the good trial and testing. And also another one is going out. Going out. I know that the praying is important, but when you come into the point of the evangelism, you pray and pray and pray and do nothing. Nothing happens. That's my experience. Do you believe that going out and giving the gospel out, if you don't give the gospel out, I know that the Lord is able. He is able. He can change from stones to He can make stones to Jew. But do you really believe that without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that soul or that man or woman can be saved? I know God is able, but without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, I cannot be saved. I don't know how you believe. That's my experience. Until the age of 19, I'm going to share with you more tonight. I never saw the Bible. I didn't know the word Bible because I've never seen one. I don't have any gospel tracts. I don't know the word tract. I don't know the name Jesus Christ. How in the world that I can be saved? Not necessarily knowing sin, I knew that I'm not a good boy. I was a bad man. But always comparing, I was comparing with somebody. I'm better than that person. I'm not that bad if I compare with a certain person. Always I compare with. Until Mr. Friend shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. God convicted me through the Spirit of God. And I knew who Jesus was, what he's done for me. See, you got to go out and give me the gospel out. If you're not a good speaker, I am not, then you can get a good gospel tracts. Some dear man shared with me the chicks, is that a word? A tract of a cut comics. You can study of the gospel tract and share with them if you're not a good speaker. But you can give the gospel out. Lastly, that's what I need all the time. I need the mercy of the thought for the lost souls. Christ died. Every day, I don't want to lose my desire to see the salvation of souls. That's what Christ died for. I'm losing easily. When I'm busy for ministry, busy for this, busy for that, I forget about the importance of souls of people. I don't want to lose that. That is the end of my life. That is the end of my preaching ministry or end of missionary in my life. I need to raise or consistently have a burden for the souls of Christ, souls for Christ. Are you giving up? Are you obeying? We, as Christ, asking us to be professionals of fishers of men. Not only we pastors and missionaries, but all of you, if you are believers of Jesus Christ, you can win more than we can. You can win other people to Christ more than the pastors and missionaries can, because we have more content than we can. Then, when we come to approach to them, they may stay away from us. I don't know the best of my poor experience. I do. But before I became a preacher, or before I became a missionary, I could talk with more people at the work, or some at the school. And after I become a pastor or missionary, I cannot get into certain places. They don't allow us to come. But you can. One of our lady, 92 years of age, I'm closing. This lady is 92. She's coming to church by pushing cart. But she is also going to be special place twice a week for older people to come together. She always carried the gospel tracts. One time she gave the gospel tracts to everybody who was there. She was stopped. And one of the nurses said, don't be there. So, what she can do, who sit next to her, personal evangelism. So she began to talk about the Lord. She does continuously. I believe she's one of the best soul winners of Jesus Christ. She's doing what she does for the Lord. Lord, may work in your hearts and my heart as well. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and the opportunity to share the word of God. I pray that, I know that it's time is too much over, and I pray that you may speak to the hearts of the people, including mine, in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to take our hymnal and turn to hymn number 388. God spoke into your heart this morning. This is your opportunity to respond. We encourage you to think about what you've heard this morning. If there's a soul here that's in doubt of their salvation, this is your opportunity to come. If it is, as I suspect, if everybody here knows the Lord, then I invite you to do this. Think about the message about being called to follow Him and being called to be witnesses and soul winners for Him. Think about how God will use you. Perhaps the Lord spoke to you in a way that Brother Tajima didn't address this morning, but God's been speaking to you and you know it. This is your opportunity to respond. Hymn number 388. Will you come while we sing? Thank you.